Welcome to the Compass Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
Okay, you've got some notes and they're quite comprehensive and we're not going to go through them all. There's information in here that you can take with you, but we're on our journey of prayer and we're wanting to equip you and give you some keys and tools that you might find a benefit now or they may be of benefit in years to come, depending on what season of life you're in. But before we get into, I guess, these three keys that we want to look at today, just some stuff I've been thinking about this week. You know, just reminded that we're called to be faithful, not fruitful. That we're called to abide in the vine and then the fruit will just naturally and should just naturally flow out of that abiding. And when it comes to prayer, it's kind of hard for us to get that, especially in the society and the community and the world in which we live in. It's just so results driven. It's all about productivity. It's all about getting a response, an outcome, an answer. And in life, if we don't get a result, if we don't get the answer we're after, then we kind of ask those questions, well, why? We get frustrated or we ask, you know, what did I do wrong? Am I doing something wrong? And then, or even better, we sort of go say, God, you know, what are you doing? We get disappointed in God. But I just want to, you know, sort of maybe mess with your head a little bit this morning before we get into our three keys. And that is that faithfulness in prayer should be and is its own reward. Think about that for a second. Just faithfulness in praying is and should be its own reward with or without tangible results coming out of that time of prayer. So what I'm saying is that to truly engage in prayer and to enter into a deeper understanding and experience of prayer, it's not entering into prayer wanting to get something out of it. It's more about just being in the presence of God, just hanging out with Jesus, hanging out with the Holy Spirit. And then it's out of that just hanging out with him, out of that relationship with him, that we take that with us daily and we can take that with us everywhere we go. So it's not about going into the time of prayer saying that I want to hang out with Jesus so that this is the outcome or this is the result. It's just a matter of hanging out and being. I mean, how do you think you would go if there wasn't an answer, outcome, result or a breakthrough that you were seeking, but rather just being in his presence with him was the object of your time with Jesus? How hard would it be for you to not slip into the mindset of saying, okay, I've done the praise, I've done the adoration, I've done the confession, I've done the thanksgiving, I just want to get to the supplication, the request part. What if we just left that out and just sort of just stopped at the thanksgiving and just in the being part of it? I mean, do you have any friends where you can just sit and be with? You know, those people that you can just sit and just fully relax and just go, and you know, it's not about kind of getting together so that you can coordinate something and organize something and for the time to be productive, you can just sit and just be. I love those kind of friendships. There's no pretense. There's no kind of, I've got to be a particular way. I've got to act a certain way. I've got to be this or that. It's just, we can, do you know what I mean? Do you have those friends? And I think that that's what God desires of us. Because I was thinking about it this week, and I'm sure you know this anyway, but do you think that God's impressed by our intellect? That I want to come to God and I just want to explain to him how the tabernacle worked. You know, like, you know, my whole kind of view on eschatology and the end times, God, I just want to teach you something. You know, do you think God's impressed by the skills or abilities or, you know, do you think he's impressed by the stuff that we have when we come to him? Do you think God's impressed by, you know, whatever strength we've got? I mean, I know he's impressed by the size of your biceps. We won't go into that. But, you know, do you think God is seriously impressed by any of that stuff? He's not. What is he longing for when we come into his, when we go to pray? He just wants us. He just wants us to sit and chill and just to be with him. And it's not about an outcome, a result, or a breakthrough that we should be desiring for. Henry Nouwen says this: we need to pray not to be productive or useful, but to become open and grateful, to simply live and be, to bear or not bear fruit, and we can grow old freely without being preoccupied with our usefulness. That's kind of liberating, isn't it? You know, it's kind of freeing that you can sit and hang out with the creator of the universe and it's not all about what can I do for you, God, because there's nothing that we can add to God. the creator of the universe, he's perfect. He's not lacking or deficient in any way. What he's longing for when he created mankind was just relationship, just to hang out. He doesn't want us to come and actually try to impress him. It's out of that hanging and just chilling out with Jesus that the other things will just naturally happen. So how do we kind of go into and have that kind of a prayer life? Well, there's three keys. There's many, but we've only got time for three today. But the first one that I want to have a look at is something called Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina, which is another word for divine reading, or should I say spiritual reading. Now, it's a Benedictine practice that originated early in the, well, formalized, I guess, in a sense, or given some shape or a word for it in the 3rd century under one of our former early church fathers, Origen. And he then went on to teach other fathers, and it got evolved and it got changed. And until the 12th century, we have what we do today, that is this 4-step process of Lectio Divina, which is, you know, sort of going into the speaking, going into the meditating, and then it goes into the praying, and then it goes into the contemplation side of it, which is the image that you will see that was up on the up there. So that's kind of like what we have today. So Lectio Divina is these 4 steps where you take a passage of scripture and you read it, and then you reflect or you meditate on that bit of reading. And what I encourage you to do is don't take a whole chapter, but just take a verse out of the chapter that kind of jumps out at you to really kind of spend time on this. And you can spend, you know, 10 minutes, or you can end up spending, some people literally spend hours doing this, taking a journey through a verse or a chapter. And then once you've moved out of that reflection, then you go into a time of praying about it and contemplating the Word of God. See, the thing about Lectio Divina, it's not a theological analysis. It's not trying to pull the passage or the text apart and looking into it in that way. But it's more about viewing the passage and finding out where's God in this? Where's Jesus? How is God expressing himself through this? So it's not just trying to analyze and pull it apart, but it's more about just entering the passage itself, putting yourself into the scripture, if you like. Because we have this understanding that the Bible's not just ink on paper, it's living, it's active, it's alive. It's got the ability and the power to transform. So when we put ourselves into the scripture, into the passage, into the situation, we can allow the Holy Spirit to bring it to life and to begin to reveal and show things to us. So it becomes more personal understanding, as opposed to kind of like that theological analysis of a passage of scripture. Does that make sense? So I've given you an example for, like, in John 14:27, where Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." An analytical approach would focus on the reason for the statement during the Last Supper, the biblical context. What does peace mean? What does, you know, going back to the origins and the roots of the word peace? But what Lectio Divina does is rather enters the peace that it's talking about. It enters the passage. We walk into the passage to go, "God, I want to experience this peace that you're talking about." Does that make sense? It's certainly an interesting passage. So it's experiencing the passage and waiting for the Holy Spirit to teach us, to show us, to reveal truth to us. And so it helps us to step into a personal level of understanding of the passage that we're reading. And I think it's actually really powerful on a personal level, because it allows the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to us that is real for us. And that's so important, to have fresh revelation of God's word for us, because God is wanting to speak to you for where you're at through the passage of scripture that you're reading. And Lectio Divina can certainly help us do that. So in Christian teachings, this form of meditative prayer leads to an increased knowledge of Christ. We begin to get a greater understanding of who Jesus is, who God is. And also flowing out of that, we just generally pick up a better understanding, a grasp of the Word of God, which all of those things are pretty good, I'm sure you'll agree. But it's interesting, people's perspective on Lectio Divina. And that is that, again, a forefather, John of the Cross, said, "Seek in reading and you will find in meditation. Knock in prayer and it will be open to you in contemplation." So let me read that again. "Seek in reading and you will find in meditation," the first 2 steps, "and then you knock in prayer and it will be open to you in contemplation." And so I actually like what Pope Benedict XVI said. He said, "I would like in particular to recall and recommend the ancient tradition of Lectio Divina, the diligent reading of sacred scripture, accompanied by prayer." Listen to this, brings about that intimate dialogue. We all know what dialogue is. It's where conversation is going both ways. So it's not just us to God, but God back to us, in which the person reading hears God who is speaking, and in praying responds to him with trusting openness of heart. If it is effectively promoted, this practice will bring to the church, I'm convinced of it, a new spiritual springtime. So here's the Pope acknowledging that there is a great power and the possibility of bringing a fresh sense and a fresh move of God amongst the Catholic Church. So here, different views and opinions on Lectio Divina. Like we're saying with all these things we're presenting, some of them may resonate. This one might resonate with you as you begin to practice. And so in terms of that, that's what we're going to do right now. We don't have all the time in the world, but just for 5 minutes, I'm going to give you time to yourself. If you've got your Bible or if you don't, it should be up on the screen. We're going to go to Psalm 63 and we're only going to take the first five verses. Now, one of these verses might jump out at you. And so the idea is that we just read. We just read. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you, and like a land that has no water. And we just begin to put ourselves in that. Lord, oh God, you are my God. That's personal. That's personal. Entering into the scripture. So for 5 minutes, and you've got some space there just to write some notes, whatever comes to mind. And I encourage you. I think it's an important part of Lectio Divina. As you go through this, we read the scripture and then we take one of those verses that resonates. I mean, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. What a beautiful verse. You know, if you begin to enter into it. And in a few minutes, I'm just going to ask you just to pray. Say, Father, like just, God, how do you want to speak to me through this? Lord, what is it that you're wanting to show me through this scripture? What is it that you want me to take away? What are you speaking to me about my life, my situation, this coming week, whatever it might be? Father, it's where the dialogue begins and God will begin to speak to you and just begin to just to contemplate that and just to begin to think about that. And as you come out of that time of prayer, you can just begin to just contemplate, just think about how am I going to apply this to my life? How's it going to shape the way I see God and relate to God? And there's so many different facets to that. So you can understand how you can just go on this journey in a time of prayer and quiet as we are here today, which is just a beautiful thing. Just going on that journey, it's been so short here, but I hope you can see there's just something so rich and deep in this that can take you further into a greater place. So if you didn't get anything from that, maybe it's not your thing, but don't forget the whole thing about prayer. It's a discipline. It's something that we've got to practice, something that we've got a kind of purpose in our hearts. No, I'm going to actually grow in this area this year. So even if I'm uncomfortable or if it just, I don't feel it, it's not about feelings, then sometimes we just got to persevere and persist and practice. So let's keep moving. The second helpful key key that might help you is something. So we've got Lectio Divina, which is the method of praying with Scripture. The second one is Visio Divina. Now, this is something that I've only really kind of jumped on board towards the end of last year and this year, because as I was growing up, this is not something in my Pentecostal charismatic world that was taught or talked about or whatever, because it's sort of a bit out there, but there is such a beautiful power in it. And what we're talking about is Visio Divina, is divine seeing. It's the method of praying with images or other media. And I know for a fact there are people in this room that you're a visual learner, that you need some kind of picture, you need PowerPoint, you need notes, you need stuff that's visual that's going to help and assist you to learn. And so this might really resonate with certain people and, artists and whatnot. Obviously, this really resonates with, because, it's all visual and colours and things. But, the Bible is full of imagery. The Bible is full of pictures. The Bible is full of visions and dreams, etc., in which he communicated to his people and communicated his message. And, of course, we live in a society that is so visual now. It's just we're bombarded with visual images all the time that I believe this type of journeying into prayer and spending time with God through this way can actually be a way that it really helps us, because we're just so used to the whole visual bombarding in our lives, which can be good and bad, of course, but we can use it for our advantage when it comes to connecting with God. So you've got a lot of information there. I don't want to read through it all because I'm going to give you that to do. But we're talking about taking an image or a picture or a painting or something, which we're going to look at a couple in just a moment. And it's trying to look past just, and look, I'm not an art connoisseur or anything like that. I just kind of look at it. Do I like the colors? Do I like the shapes? If it's not an ocean, if it's not a surfer, well, why bother? But, you know, it's like, that's kind of like the depth of my appreciation of art prior to this. But like even looking at Rublev's, portrayal, if you like, of the Trinity, which will come up, like when I sat and looked at it, and I forced myself to do that for about 45 minutes one day, nearly killed me. But like when I did that and I began to go, wow, once I got past my initial thoughts and views and opinions and reflected on the emotions that it was stirring or it didn't stir or whatever, and I got past all of that and I just began to look at the image and to see, okay, God, where are you in this? As it says here, that it invites us to be seen, addressed, surprised, and transformed by God, who is never limited or tied to any image, but speaks through them. And so it's us taking an image, a picture, and actually allowing God to speak to us through that. So images, for some of us, might be the thing that actually helps us get rid of the distractions that are in our life and helps us to get more focused and centered on God. So there's a lot of information in there. But what we're going to do now is we're going to put some images up on the screen. They're going to start there for 1 minute each. Now, if you're going to do this process properly, as you see here, they suggest that you take anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes just on a image. But I've got 5 different images and they'll just be up there for a minute. I just want you to just like, just look and just go, wow, you know, God, where are you in this? God, do you want to speak to me through this image? For some of you just thinking, this is so weird. Just going, Phil, what have you been eating? Because seriously. But I've actually found this so helpful in my own prayer time. In fact, I like to finish my prayer time off with this now, where I just, whether it's a painting or it's a picture or just a, you know, sort of looking at a picture of my family. It can be all sorts of different things. But to spend 10 minutes just sitting and just allowing God to speak to me through that is quite amazing. So let's just take 1 minute each on these images and see what happens. The scuba diver that you saw was actually Lucas, who comes to church when he was in the Philippines scuba diving. I caught up with him and he said, you know, I just love being down in the water and it's just such a great place to pray. And that I asked him to send some of those photos, that photo through, which is pretty cool. But images are pretty powerful, aren't they? A picture paints 1,000 words. There's just so much that you can draw out of it. And to use it within our time of reflection and prayer may just really help you. Or maybe not now, but maybe some other stage in life. So there's 2 things. Thirdly, this morning, take a look at one that might be obvious to some, and that is music. So we've got Lectio Divina, we've got Visio Divina, and also music. And there's a reason why music is so powerful. There's a reason why music is so significant and why it's an important part of church life. And we'll come to that in just a sec. And when we sing and we clap our hands and play music and stuff, it's one expression of worship. And, you know, worship itself is described as being that reverent honour and homage paid to God or a sacred personage or to any object regarded as sacred. Obviously, for us, we worship the Lord Jesus Christ, the one and only true and living God. The Bible tells that we're called to worship with our whole lives, that is everything, in Romans 12:1, to offer our bodies everything as a living sacrifice as unto God. And one way, an expression of worship, is through singing and accompanying music and that sort of thing. And I think it's important for us to understand why music is so important. And that is there are three main angels that are listed in Scripture. There is Michael, who we see is one that answers prayer, responds to prayer. There is Gabriel, who was the one that proclaimed the word of God to various people. And finally, the other key angel that we see in Scripture is Lucifer or Satan. And he was initially in charge of worship and created so magnificently and beautiful, but he fell and he still does have that desire to be worshipped and to be exalted and to be glorified. And so he will manipulate and do whatever he can so that that music will be used to lead people further and further away from worshipping God and worshipping him, known in a known or an unknowing way. And I think the church is actually required to do all three of these things. I'm not talking about manipulate. I'm talking about, because I know how some of you are thinking right there. Some of you are fast and quick. But the church, we're called to, as I've heard, you know, we're called to pray, we're called to bring the word, and we're called to worship. And you see, it's really interesting. I want you to come on a journey with me in Ezekiel 28. Don't have time to turn in your Bibles. Just let me read it. So listen up. Ezekiel 28, 12 to 15, a prophetic word by Ezekiel to the then time, but also prophetically and giving us insight into this third angel that I've mentioned, Lucifer or Satan. Have a listen. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Sounds like you, sweetheart. That's my attempt of recovering from last week. Anyway, we won't go there. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. So this is painting a picture of what Lucifer looked like. So have a listen. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz and diamond, beryl, onyx and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, emerald with gold. Must have been an incredible being. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. So part of Lucifer's creation, part of what made him up, and I don't know if you call it a body, a spiritual being, but whatever he was or is, it was made up of timbrels and pipes. You were an anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. So here we have a description of the devil, and part of his makeup is the timbrels, which we would call that percussion, and pipes made up part of his being, which we would call wind instruments. And if we jump to Isaiah 14, verses 11 to 15, a description of what took place, and again of Satan and his fall, verse 11, it says, "All your pomp has been brought down to the grave, along with the noise of your harps. Maggots are spread out beneath you and worms cover you." Not quite the beauty that was before. "How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations." Now this is what the devil said. This is his self-proclamation. This is the devil's desire and what brought about his downfall. In verse 13, "You said in your heart..." Notice there the emphasis on heart. That's where the heart of the matter is, the human heart. And again, here we see that within Satan's heart, this is what he was saying. And God knows all things, knows the thoughts, etc. And the Satan said, "I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the top of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit." So here we have Satan's desire is to be elevated, lifted up. "I will ascend, I will go up," all these things. But God says, "No, I am the Most High. And you will be cast down," as we know he was. And we see here in that verse 11, "along with the noise of your harps." So we've got the timbrels, which is percussion. We've got pipes, which is wind instruments. And here we've got harps, which indicates stringed instruments. So what we've basically got is that we've covered off all the different kinds of instruments that you can actually have. And so out of this, you can begin to understand why music is such a powerful thing. We don't just have music at the start of our service to wake you up. We don't just do it to try and get you in a good mood so that you're kind of half awake when I start to preach. It's like it's not the entree before the main course. It is just so vitally important, music and worship. It's such a powerful medium. And so we see that when we begin to understand the importance of music and that it was like the means that it was created was to actually bring glory to and praise to and thanks to God, it can be used for all sorts of different things. But no, for us, we can actually use music as a way and means of us actually being able to focus and center on the majesty, the power, the glory, the might of our God. Does that make sense? I just wanted to give you a little bit of an insight as to why music can be so powerful. And I think it actually helps us when we understand that, not just approaching our personal prayer times, but actually how we approach corporate worship times together, or an expression of our worship, I should say, those times together when we use singing and we use, you know, music and stuff like that. And that's what we're going to do right now. We're just going to come into a time of music, and we're going to come into a time of worshiping through singing and through music. I'm going to hand over to these guys. So I guess basically what we're going to do now is we're just going to have just a time where you can sit, you can stand, whatever you're most comfortable in, just as we just did with the Lectio Divina and as we did with the Visio Divina. We just want this time right now to be just another opportunity for you to just connect with God in a way that's just real for you. So if you want to stand, you can stand. If you want to sit. So actually what we're going to do is we're just going to close the service now. I'm just going to pray, and then we're just going to go into a time of worship, because I believe that God wants to do some good things this morning. We've been praying this month especially just for release of the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you know, words of prophecy, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, you know, a gift of healings and a gift of discernment, a gift of deliverance, all those wonderful, precious gifts. And we're desiring that the Holy Spirit would just come. I believe that God's got words for people in this place today. As Sean just, you know, he didn't know I was saying this, but as he just did so well around the time of communion, he just was just praying for healing in this place. I believe that God wants to heal people in this place this morning. And so as we come to this time of worship, I believe it's going to help just facilitate God doing whatever he wants to do if our hearts are open to that. So let me just close in prayer. And if you want to hang around, then love you to. But may I just ask that you just respect and just honor the time and what's intended for this time right now. But by all means, if you want to go out and grab a coffee or a Slurpee and just chill out in the foyer, That's totally okay too. But we're just going to have this time for us to be able to worship our God through singing and music. Father, we just thank you this morning that you desire, you are complete. There's no lack in you, but yet your word says that you desire relationship with us. You're a jealous God. You want us all to yourself. And when we can just come and be with you and hang out with you, that you take care of all of our stuff. If we can just rest in you. So Father, whether it's through Lectio Divina or Visio Divina, or whether it's through this idea of music, I pray each of us this coming week, Father God, would just be able to go that bit deeper in our prayer time with you, that we'd just have a greater awareness and sense of your presence calling us, wanting to give us the strength and wisdom, giving us the peace we need, giving us the clarity, the creativity, whatever it is, Father God, that just as we sit, that stuff will just come. So I pray your blessing over your people here this morning. We commit those to you, Father God, that are not well, that God's sickness is in their body and they couldn't make it here today. We pray against that now in Jesus' name. And we just ask that you would touch them. Heavenly Father, we just think of Troy and Belinda, Summer and Ruby, at the loss of Troy's stepdad recently. Father, we just pray for your peace and comfort to be their portion, Lord. May they just know that you're carrying them through this time with this sense of loss. But I just again pray a blessing on your people in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we worship, you might want to sit, you might want to stand. You might want to just come and just kneel or stand down here at the front. Just whatever you're comfortable with. But otherwise, God bless. Have a great week. Got a great sort of semi-surprise service next week. It's going to be really cool, really cool. So just encourage you to be here next week. But God bless. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.